Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So out here in South Florida, there's a pilot TV program that's going to air pretty soon called Good Health Hunting. And when this was pitched to me from my producer, Sheldon Baker, I don't know, it just caught my eye, caught my attention. I liked it, right? Maybe because I liked Good Will Hunting, the movie, I don't know. But so I thought we should look into this, exactly what this Good Health Hunting is. My guest is Dr. David L. Vastola. He runs a private practice in Palm Beach, Florida. He specializes in internal medicine and gastroenterology, and is often called, I like this, the Sherlock Holmes of medicine. He uncovers, you know, basically problems that other doctors like me miss. So Dr. Vastola is showcasing a new TV pilot called Good Health Hunting at the film festivals, and he has a new book, Fountain of Youth, Nutritional Therapies. Dr. Vastola, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Yes, well, thank you for having me.
Well, so, where did all this get started? How did you come up with the Good Health Hunting TV pilot program?
Well, it started, as a lot of things start, just coincidentally. I have an internal medicine gastroenterology practice here in Southeast Florida, and I was talking with my staff about it. I said, you know, this would make really a great reality program because of the nature of the problems that we see and the type of people that we see. And one of my girls said, you know, I went to high school with this guy who's a producer out in California now. You know, maybe I'll give him a call. I said, sure, go ahead. What do we got to lose? You know how many times that happens. Well, anyway, she contacted this fellow. His name is Brian Connors. He's an actor, producer out there in Los Angeles. And he called me up and he said, you know, I hear you have, you may have something here. What does it look like? So I told him, and it turned out that I was on Fox News here at the 10 o'clock news for 8 years, and I'd done 2-3 minute stories every night for 8 years. So I put some of those on my webpage. So I told him, take a look at them and then give me a call back. So he looked at them. He called me back. He said, you know, they're kind of interesting. They're a little crude, he says, by our standards, but, you know, they may have some value here. He says, what I want you to do is send a 3-page letter to the Actors Guild here in Los Angeles, and we'll look at it, and I'll see if it has any merit. So I sent this letter, and about 3-4 weeks later, he called me back, and he said, I liked it. He says, I want to come down and spend a week with you. So he came down here and spent a week with me, filming all over the place. He filmed me everywhere other than the men's room. But anyway, he brought it back, and then he called me a month later, and he said, you know, I think we can do something with this. And so he came back a month later with a production company, and we filmed for 3 days. And put it together, and then we started shopping it. And the Fort Lauderdale Film Fest picked it up about 3 months ago, which is a pretty big one. And it turned out that one of the producers from one of the reality producers in California, who is located out of Naples, Florida, saw it, came over and liked it, and he said, I'd like to film another day with you to add some things that I think we need for the networks. So he did. So he came over, we filmed. And now it's with United Talent Agency, UTA, which is the second largest talent agency in California, and they're shopping it with a network. So hopefully, I'll get a phone call later today, and that'll be it. But that's kind of how it all happened, and in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, so spinning off this Sherlock Holmes for medicine, or of medicine, name for yourself. Let's go through some questions that I think would be perfect for someone like you to handle. You actually say that it's okay for people to eat a lot of butter. Why do you say it's a good idea to eat butter?
Well, you should know better than I do. I just listened to the end of your conversation from the prior program, and actually, there was an article in Time Magazine. And that was the name of the article, Eat Butter, and the author hit it right in the head, and all the things that you had talked about just 10 minutes ago was right on. The saturated fats are not the problems in our diet, and for all the reasons that you mentioned. And now that we have particle analysis, which I highly recommend in all my patients, and I make sure that they have all these particle analysis so that we can basically bioengineer our patients. I think it's terrific how we can treat each one of these specifically. But anyway, we now know that fats are not the problem. When you saturated fats, you increase your LDL, but you increase the foamy large cells, which don't cause any cardiovascular problems. The LDL, the small LDL molecules are the one that get us into trouble. And what drives those are the carbs, and you're exactly right again. It's the carbs that are the villain. Dr. Atkins popularized the Atkins diet about 20 years ago. I spoke to Dr. Atkins on a radio program that I had much like yours years ago. And a very smart guy, and of course, you know what the medical profession did to him. But it turned out Dr. Atkins was right. You know, it's carbohydrates insulin surges that are the bad guys. And that's, you know, that's how I take care of my patients. Just exactly what you talked about earlier.
Let me move on to another question, because I think this is an important one too, and I want to hear what you're telling your patients in your everyday practice. So we know that the flu vaccine is not protecting people like we thought that it should. One of the strains may have mutated that's out in the community. I think it's the H3N2 strain, which can be a devastating strain for older people. So how do you help people protect themselves from the flu?
Well, I think they should all get the flu shot, you know, what we have available now anyway, you know, because it does mollify the disease and does protect us against the majority of the flu strains that are out there. But also, I mean, there are some, I warn people of the symptoms. If you get a fever, cough, you're aching all over, make sure you call me immediately, because we have to start antiviral therapy. Tamiflu, you've got within 36 hours to get that into you. What the people don't understand is just how devastating influenza virus can be. It's a devastating virus, very contagious. Not only does it cause inflammation of the lungs, it strips the lining of the lung, and then, of course, the secondary bacteria comes in, and that's what kills people, the secondary bacteria, the secondary infection. So I tell them, any of those symptoms, you call immediately, and there are some, you know, there are some nutrients that are antiviral, which can help. I mean, it's like shooting an elephant with a BB gun, but I think it can help.
Well, Dr. Vestola, let's do this. Let's go back to the Tamiflu medication that is given. Now, we know that it will decrease the length of the illness by about a day and a half or so. That's what the studies show.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, do you find that if people are treated with Tamiflu, that there's a reduction in the secondary infections?
Decrease in hospitalizations?
Do you see that?
Well, that's just the beginning part of how I treat these patients. I treat these patients generally with a cocktail, bronchodilators, a short course of steroids, and antibiotics, because, like I said, what gets them in trouble is the bacteria that comes in next. And the idea is to treat, diminish the viral influences on the lungs as much you can, and then prevent the bacteria from coming in that causes the pneumonias.
Yeah. Okay, I tell you what, we got time for probably one more question, Dr. Vestola, and then I'm going to get maybe like a website of yours, Brandon, but And I'm going to ask this one because I'm from Texas, and I like to grill meat, and I like my barbecue. I'm just going to admit that to you. So how can people grill meat safer?
Well, you need to know what you're doing. Meat, if it's cooked under high temperatures like grilling, and especially if you put mesquite on it, which most of you Texans do, it really raises the temperatures. I know it does, but it raises the temperature, and it causes chemicals in the meat called heterocyclic amines. And these chemicals can cause cancer over a long period of time. There's no doubt about it. And you'll find them, by the way, in the pieces of meat that are more well done. For example, on the end, which is the better tasting part of the meat, of course.
Of course. Yeah. That's where it's good.
You will decrease by, there are some little tricks that you can do. You can decrease these influences by marinating your meat before you cook it. That helps. Decreases these heterocyclic amines. Also, don't use a fork. Use a tong to turn your meat, whatever, because the fork basically creates these changes within the meat. But if you use the tongs where you don't penetrate the meat, you don't get those chemicals deep down in the meat. Try not to overcook your meat, you know, especially some people like this Pittsburgh, you know, where they cook it to a char, like a hockey puck.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Vestola, let's leave it there. What's a website you could give for my listeners?
Yeah, Your Good Health. FL.com.
All right, thanks for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.